Let's look at a multi-ethnic vision today. We've talked in the last few weeks about our vision as a congregation, and we've spent some time going over parts of our mission statement. And today we're looking at that part of our mission statement that says that we are in a diverse neighborhood. And I don't think that it takes much to realize that that is a good, true statement, that we are in a diverse neighborhood. Now, for the past two centuries in Protestant churches all over the world, it was the desire to see missionaries go out and to evangelize the nations. Many Christian churches sent missionaries to parts of Africa and parts of Asia and parts of South America as a way to fulfill what we call the Great Commission, that which we read in Matthew 28. Go and teach, go and baptize, go and disciple the nations. And there are many success stories that could be told. We can think of the so-called success in our own denomination in places like China and Cyprus and Syria and later Japan and now in Sudan as well. We can think of places like India and the Middle East. It's estimated concerning the Middle East that there are more associate Reformed Presbyterians in Pakistan than there are in the United States. And other churches have similar stories, just good, quote-unquote, success stories of the gospel going out into foreign lands and doing very well. The desire to be mission-minded and to hear missionary stories, it's something that we just love, isn't it? It's something that Christians love to hear. You know, we love to see pictures of the pith helmet, don't we? Or the thatched roof. And we love to see people in contemporary American clothing with their picture taken next to people in their cultural clothing. There's something about the romance and the sacrifice and the adventure of it all that really makes us long to see more of that and to hear more of those stories and to be a part of that. But what about us? What about those who live quote-unquote normal lives, where we're living in the city and we work long hours and we have long commutes, and it just seems that we're so separated from that life? What about those of us here? How can we be a part of that missionary endeavor that is something that we love to see, something we love to hear about? Now, I will argue that yes, we can be a part of that endeavor. And the fact is, all we have to do is walk the streets of our neighborhood to know that Great Commission is something that can be done here. All we have to do is look into our own neighborhoods, not even just here, but in the neighborhoods in which all of you live, and we can find out how we can be a part of that Great Commission, that diversification of the church. Now, I've read heavily from a missiologist this week named Roger Greenway, and if you're interested in reading some on urban ministry and ministry in a non-foreign context, Roger Greenway is a really good place to start. And I would commend him to you. I would recommend that you would read something to begin thinking about ministry amongst a diverse community. Now, before we begin, I would like to define a term, or actually two terms that can be used interchangeably. The terms multicultural and multi-ethnic. I have to stress the end there, because when I reviewed the bulletin for this morning, before I sent it off to press, so to speak, I had down that we were looking at having a multi-ethic vision, and I don't think that's what we want here. We want one ethic, but the multi-ethnic and multicultural. Now, when we think of multiculturalism, we usually have a negative vibe that is attached to that word. We think of the idea that each culture or each ethnic heritage is of equal importance, with equal value and equal worth. Now, in today's society, the idea is that each culture has the right to express their own value system, to express their own religious convictions, and to decide for themselves what their principles are going to be. Now, when I say multicultural or multi-ethnic, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about an equality of the cultural playing field. What I'm saying is that each culture or ethnic group has a responsibility to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as people from various cultures or ethnic groups are converted, some of their expressions as Christians will look different. So, in other words, as the gospel goes out and as the gospel is brought to other cultures or even cultures in other neighborhoods, we're not saying that that culture has to be so-called colonized. The culture does not have to learn English or learn the Pledge of Allegiance before we can say, yes, now those are good Christians. Because that's something that we do really need to keep on the forefront of our mind. This is something historically that has happened as missions has been done, even missions in the foreign mission field and missions in the United States with immigrant communities. There has been that idea that missionary or that those being ministered to have to be Americanized, or in like in Africa, they have to become British before they could become Christian, because that was seen as a subset. And what I'm arguing is that is not gospel-centered. That's not what we're looking for as we think about a multi-ethnic vision. So today we're going to look at how we are going to have a diverse neighborhood, and that being something that is beneficial to us as a congregation, something that's beneficial to our vision as a church. So it's no secret that we live in a diverse neighborhood. Many historic Protestant churches find themselves in the same situation. A church is planted, the community changes, and over 100 years, people say, what has gone on here? Where are the people in this neighborhood that used to live here and worship here? It's not something that is new to us. It's not something that only affects us. It's something that affects urban churches all across the country. So what happens is that people begin to ask questions. They come to the realization, wow, the neighborhood is so much different than it used to be. And then the questions come up. Should we move to the suburbs? Or should we work with what we have here? Should we work within the boundaries that God has given us? And these are valid questions that congregations need to wrestle with, and questions that we need to wrestle with, and I know that this congregation has wrestled with in the past. But today we're exploring this idea of a multi-ethnic vision. We're working with the premise that this is where God has us, and this is where God wants us to work within this community. So we need to ask ourselves, is this what God has intended for us or not? I think that's a very probing question. As we look around and as we think about our community, is this how God has intended it? Does God desire to have multi-ethnic churches, or does he want each culture and each ethnic group to stay to themselves on the Lord's Day? Roger Greenway notes, as we see Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, and adherents of other religions walking our city streets, we realize that the missionary task begins very close to home. It starts in our cities. Here is our Jerusalem. Here is our Judea. Here is our Samaria. We cannot talk credibly about winning distant people to Christ if we neglect the unsaved nearby. In some cases, people who were unreachable in their homelands are now accessible in North American cities. And then he goes on to say, God is doing an amazing thing. He is bringing all the kindreds of the earth to our doorstep that his name might be honored through their salvation and through their worship. So does that sound like something that we can relate to? I think that has been our experience here as a congregation, hasn't it? We are in a diverse neighborhood. Now, it's not as diverse as some neighborhoods are in Los Angeles, but it is diverse enough where God has said, work with this community. And believe me, as I've looked through the way a lot of the neighborhoods, the 114 neighborhoods that make up Los Angeles, as I look at the diversity in those neighborhoods, we actually have it pretty good here. It's not as diverse as some neighborhoods, which means that we can work with it, but we aren't stretched to the point where we couldn't handle it as a community. So as we look at this as being part of God's design for the church, we began by reading some passages. Some passages that I believe attest to this fact that this is God's design for the church, to have a multi-ethnic church. This is God's intention. Now, in morning worship, we've worked through 12 chapters of Romans so far, and we see some of that in the book of Romans as well, don't we? We see God going out and working amongst the Gentile nations as a whole, and how as God is working with the Gentile nations, he's bringing in people from all people groups of the world. That's something that we have seen in Romans. So it is something that is scattered throughout the scriptures, not something that is just in the three texts that we've read this morning. But what I would like to do is look at these three texts briefly and see what they can add to our understanding of a multi-ethnic vision. Now, the first was Genesis 17. In Genesis 17, we have God calling Abraham and making a covenant with Abraham. Now, Abraham is not only called to personal salvation. This is an important starting point. Often when we think about salvation, or when we present the gospel to somebody, we present it in that context that you can be made right with God. And that's right. I'm not arguing against that. But there's more to a relationship with God, more to being in covenant with God than just one's personal salvation. And we see that first off here in Abraham. Abraham is called for the purpose of being a blessing to the nations. God set him apart as the father of the faithful. So spiritually, as we trace back our heritage, we can trace it back to Abraham. And the reason that this is important is because we see that that is being fulfilled in Abraham. All the nations of the world being blessed. As far as I know, I've said before, there is not one person in this congregation that is of Jewish descent. There's nobody here. So we are even the fulfillment of that prophecy as the blessing to the nations being sent out. We've been blessed. because of this covenant made with Abraham. So we see in Abraham that there's actually a microcosm of what God has intended for the church all along. Now somehow, the ancient people of God lost sight of this in the Old Testament. This idea that, Abraham, you're set apart so that you can be a blessing to the whole nations. And I'm going to build up a church from you that is to be a blessing to the whole nations. And the Old Testament people lost sight of this. They lost sight of this idea that they are to be a blessing. Instead, they turned it on themselves and they said, God has blessed me because I am worthy of blessing. And that understanding of the blessing going out was turned in on themselves. And this is how we see it even when Jesus Christ comes to this earth. So this covenant made with Abraham, according to our text, was a covenant made between God and Abraham and his offspring. Now that's important. God, Abraham, offspring. Now, the text tells us that kings will come through his seed. Now this, of course, is not only a reference to the kings of Israel that came through, right? This is also, and spiritually, and at the highest point, a reference to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will be that spiritual lineage and that ultimate blessing to the nations. So Abraham, covenant made with Abraham, covenant made with his heritage, his descendant, who will be Jesus Christ, who will be that ultimate blessing to the nations. Now, this is actually pretty exciting, I think. We have Christ coming to be the ultimate fulfillment of this covenant. We have this expressed desire from God and this plan to build a multi-ethnic church as a fulfillment of this covenant. Now this is not the stuff that we really hear very often as we think about the covenant made with Abraham. We don't think about that multi-ethnic approach to the covenant, but that's really there at the core. I will save you so that you can bless all these other nations around you. Most churches in America are mono-ethnic churches, one ethnicity. This is true of the largest urban churches. The largest urban churches across the country are African-American churches. Churches in the cities that flourish and thrive and are huge are African-American churches. And the same is true in the suburbs. You get out in the suburbs and you get into some of the large, flourishing churches and they are as white as snow. One ethnicity is the way church is done in America. Most congregations do not reflect this Genesis 17 vision for the church of Christ. And we need to see that. As we consider our neighborhood and as we consider where God has planted us, we need to see that this is a blessing. This is actually something that reflects what God's desire for the whole church universal is. It's to our advantage. Of course, this means that there's extra work that needs to be done. Think of all the extra work that is done with being a multi-ethnic congregation already, with translating and all of the work that goes on in the Sabbath school and the work that goes on in that room up there. That makes things a little more difficult. It's added things that need to be done. But we are reflecting God's desire for the church as we have a multi-ethnic congregation. Now from Genesis 17, we move into Psalm 2. Some of you know that I wrote my master's thesis on Psalm 2. So I have at least 100 pages of original material that I could give you, but I'll spare you the details. In Psalm 2, we see the nations, or the ethnos, raging against the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called God's anointed, God's Messiah. And we see that even those that are in the highest places of authority in the whole world are trying to throw off what they call the bonds of the Messiah. They feel as though they're in chains because of his requirements on them. And we have God laughing at them. There's very few places in the scriptures that talk about laughter. This is one of them. God is laughing. And he says, I've put my king on Zion, and he's appointed to rule over you. If you're trying to throw off these bonds, and you have a king that you have to submit to. And then something in the text that is outside of history is mentioned. In verse 7, it says, I will tell of the decree. What this does is, it takes this fact that the nations, or the ethnos, the ethnicities, are Christ's inheritance, and it takes it out of history, and it moves it back into eternity. So this desire to have the nations, or the ethnicities, come unto Christ is something that is not just rooted in a covenant made with Abraham. And it's not just something that God promised Jesus when he came to the earth. This is something that was decided when the three persons of the Trinity met in eternity past and established what is called the covenant of redemption. That covenant where they decided how man would be redeemed from sin. And part of that covenant in eternity past said all ethnicities will be your inheritance. So this vision for a multi-ethnic church is not just something rooted in time. Do you see the importance of that? It's rooted in eternity. Not just something made with Abraham. Something before time even was determined. And it's not an afterthought. Modern dispensationalism tells us that God's desire to save the Gentiles was an afterthought. Jesus came to earth, he was rejected, and God said, well, I guess we'll try for these other people now. But God had established that desire in eternity past. And this is something that needs to be important to us. Because it's part of the inheritance of Jesus Christ. Now we also see something else important to us as Christians living in a diverse neighborhood. We see this inheritance to Christ. The nations belong to Jesus. Not just because he took them, because he inherited them. Now, if you think about things in your home that you inherited, things from maybe your grandfather, your grandmother, things that have been passed down through your family, often those things are highly valued in your home, aren't they? Because it's something that has been given to you. And this is what we see in the inheritance that Jesus Christ was given. Jesus Christ was given the nations, the ethnos, the ethnicities of this world. That's his inheritance. And it's something that he holds very dearly because of that. So it's not this idea, hey, you know, let's go evangelize that poor people group over there because we feel sorry for them and we would like them to have something of the blessing that we have as well. It's not our attitude. We need to be able to see that this people group or a different people group is part of the inheritance that Jesus Christ has been given. They belong to Christ. Messiah, the Prince. Prince over the nations. And that word nations that we've been talking about, ethnos, it's not so much a political word with political borders and a flag. It's so much more than that. It's people groups. People groups, not political boundaries. So I'll throw in a controversial side note just to stir the water a little bit. One of the reasons that I'm not a big fan of flags being in where we worship is this idea that the inheritance given is all nations of the world. Now, ideally, if a congregation had flags, I think the best way to do it is to have a flags representing all the nations of the world. Because that is what's reflected in the gospel. I think that sometimes when we have flags in our churches, we give people the wrong impression. We give people that impression that there's some intrinsic connection between being a Christian and being an American citizen. And I think that that is not the mentality that we want to promote as believers, because this multi-ethnic vision includes all nations of the world. Now, I won't digress any further, but I just wanted to throw that out. Now, Psalm 2 ends with this phrase, "Blessed are all those who take refuge in Him." So what this does is it connects Psalm 2 to Genesis 17, doesn't it? Abraham is called so that all the nations of the world could be blessed. And here we see the Lord Jesus is raised up so that in Him the nations could be blessed. The ethnos as His inheritance being blessed through Him. So that promise made to Abraham is now, in Psalm 2, said, this promise of blessing will come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this gives us confidence, doesn't it? Confidence that as a multi-ethnic congregation is being built, that we're actually doing what God has called us to do. It is not God's will that just whatever particular ethnicity you are, come to Christ. In Him, all the ethnicities of the world will be blessed. And that means that as we evangelize our neighbors, and as we build relationships with those with whom we have contact, even those who are in other ethnicities, we are inviting people to come unto Christ. And let this spur you on in an evangelistic way so that you may have greater zeal, knowing this promise that all ethnicities of the world are part of that inheritance. They're part of that desire for who would come unto Jesus Christ. And the third text we're looking at is Matthew 28, 16 through 20. We love this text. Everybody loves this text. The mission that Jesus Christ has given to the church. I mean, even the name, the Great Commission. Who couldn't love the sound of that? In this text, we find a command, a final command to the new office bearers in the church. He tells the church through these office bearers, go into all the world, teaching and baptizing and discipling the nations. And then he gives this comfort, I will be with you I'll be with you always. And he gives that comfort. Now, this is a broad command to the church. The church through the office bearers, because baptizing and discipleship and those things belong particularly to those who hold office. But it's also broad in the sense that every individual Christian is to participate in that Great Commission. Now, we could not possibly, all of us, fulfill it in the most literal sense. Because what that would mean is each one of us here have to move, right? We have to go away into other parts of the world to bring the gospel. So there's this broad sense in which the church as a whole has been given this command. And God has put us as a congregation in a wonderful place to bring this great commission, this go into all ethnicities, and doing it here, even in the neighborhood in which God has us. Roger Greenway, one of his chapter titles in one of his books is The Ends of the Earth Have Come to Town. And it's this idea that as cities are growing and as groups come into cities, that literally all the ends of the earth are coming into our neighborhoods. And God has given us a very wonderful blessing in that. Because in one sense, we're able to fulfill this commission just by walking our streets, aren't we? Listen to this quote. Los Angeles public schools try to educate children coming from homes where one of 86 different languages is spoken. Los Angeles is called the Vietnamese capital of America. It is the second largest Hispanic city in the Western Hemisphere, surpassed only by Mexico City. Obviously, any Christian ministry that reaches Spanish-speaking people in Los Angeles provide an important springboard for reaching other lands. Greenway goes on to talk about the number of immigrants in other cities in this country. And as he's talking about the large number of multi-ethnic communities within our cities, he says that these communities offer the immigrant a feeling of acceptance of living in a place where being different is the norm. You see, God has placed us in a neighborhood where there's diversity that He has called us to minister to. We have the resources for reaching out to the Spanish community around us, don't we? The Spanish-speaking community. We have the resources for reaching out to the Caucasian communities around us. And we just need to ask ourselves, are we on board with what God is doing here in this community? You know, I feel a little bit funny talking about this as part of our vision or something that we should develop, because it's been the vision of this congregation for at least a generation to be a part of multi-ethnic ministry. You know, in Reformed churches in our country, this congregation has actually been a forerunner. Something has been done here that is just now being duplicated in other churches 30 years later or 20 years later. We know that we have sermons translated into Spanish. We have Spanish-speaking instructors in our Sabbath school. We have a session member who is part of this culture, who's fluent in Spanish and is such a big help for making contacts. And this is who we are. It's who we've been, at least for a generation. And it's something that is to be embraced and even celebrated. God's intention for the church of Christ is to have this multi-ethnic church. And we have that. And we are to pray that He would give us more of that. That He would open more doors for that to work out here in this place. So what are some things that we can do to foster this vision in a greater way in our congregation? The first thing that we can do is we can make it a priority in our prayer life. We can ask God to continue to open those doors and to give us opportunity to expand that part of His kingdom. Something else that we can do is we can get to know our neighborhoods. And I don't just mean the neighborhood here where the church is, but the neighborhoods where you live as well. Because this is really where ministry begins, isn't it? People rarely just walk in off the street and say, I want to try out a new church. People come because of contacts made in the coffee shop or in the gym or in the laundromat or wherever it is that you would meet people. That is where ministry begins, making those contacts and speaking to people about the gospel and speaking to people about the church of Christ. Ministry can even begin in your living room or any place where meetups happen. Get to know your neighbors. Reach out to those who are from other ethnic groups and talk to them. Invite them in. Ask them ways that you can minister to them. Because that is really where ministry begins. It begins in each of your neighborhoods as well as in this neighborhood by us making real contacts, real relational contacts with people. You know, Glendale has the largest Armenian population in the world outside of Armenia. 24% of Glendale is Armenian. It's about 190,000 people that live in Glendale. So 24% of that Armenian. You can ask God, you could say, God, give me a heart for those people. And you can pray for them. And you can learn what you can learn about the Armenian people. And you can read up on them. And as you're reading and praying and getting excited about that sort of outreach, as you're meeting Armenians when you're in Glendale, you will be compelled to talk about the gospel. Because that's your goal. That's your goal in getting excited about a people group. Now, Eagle Rock is interestingly divided. Eagle Rock is 30% Caucasian, 24% Asian, and 40% Latino. We don't know, we'll know when the census comes out, how all of that really breaks down. But we can look for ways to bring the gospel into that mix. We can look for people groups that fall within that almost 30-30-30 division and read about them and pray for them and reach out to them in that way. Glassell Park is 67% Latino, 13% Caucasian, and 17% Asian. As we hear those figures, do we think, well, you know, Lord, this is just way beyond any resource that we have available to us? Because I don't think that it is. I think that it's a wonderful gospel challenge to reflect His kingdom, to reflect His kingdom in ways that show how big His kingdom actually is. His inheritance. He has purchased people groups. And he is the one that is bringing them together under the umbrella of the gospel. Here's five ways that we can aid in this aspect of our vision. The first, see this as part of God's design. We're not to see this as a hindrance or something that makes it so that we can't do ministry, but just part of our calling. This is our lot in life. This is what God has called us to do. Secondly, we can pray for an opportunity to build relationships with people that may be a little bit outside of your own comfort zone. As you build relationships with people of other ethnicities and as you're bringing the gospel to them, as that friendship grows, you have a contact that you can ask the strange questions to. The questions about why certain things are done in a certain way. And you have a contact that can aid you in bringing the gospel to other cultures. The third is find out what the needs are in that specific community. The community that you live in, the community that you work in, the community that you play in. What are ways that our congregation, even with our limited resources, could reach out and to supply or meet some of those needs in the name of Jesus Christ? Not everything requires lots of money. Not everything requires lots of manpower. But there may be little ways that we can reach out in the name of Christ and meet those needs. The fourth is invite, be open, and be hospitable. One of the interesting things about presenting the gospel is this built-in mechanism that people have that says people love to talk about themselves. You know that? If you talk to somebody and you ask them all sorts of questions about themselves, where'd you go to school, ask about their siblings, and just keep asking them questions about themselves. And if that goes on for an hour, that person will think, wow, we had a neat conversation. That's just the way people are designed. And we can use that for the advancement of the gospel. Ask questions. Ask questions about practices in other cultures. Ask questions about family life, because the family structures are often different at times. And know that the gospel is the hope, not just for our culture, but for the cultures around us as well. That gospel of Jesus Christ is the hope that's going to answer questions that may come up as you're inviting and being hospitable. And fifth is, be strategic. Know what your particular goals are. As you're bringing the gospel to people, have a clear goal in mind. Don't just say, you know, I'm building a relationship so that eventually I can bring them the gospel. Have clear guidelines on yourself. Build real relationships, but keep the gospel and that strategy of the gospel at the center of that relationship. I will bring them the gospel, and this is the way I would like to do it. We need to be wise in our approach. That's what God wants from us. So we see that we have a multi-ethnic church, and part of being a multi-ethnic church is because either by need, necessity, or desire, at one time, this congregation said, this is something that we want to reflect. And it's built up over the years. And it's waned over the years. And it's in a different place than it was a number of years ago. You all know the history. You all know the highs. You all know the lows. But we're saying this is part of our heritage. And it's something that we embrace as part of our vision to be a multi-ethnic church, because our neighborhood reflects that. It's part of that inheritance of Jesus Christ. And it's even part of that great commission, that begins right outside of those doors. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do pray that you would help us to consider and develop that multi-ethnic vision for your church more and more. Lord, we know that it has been part of who we are for many years. And Lord, we pray that you would help that to flourish. Lord, we pray that we would look around to our neighborhoods and say, this is where God has us. This is where you want us to serve. And that we would be strategic in the ways that we reach out to our neighbors with the love of Christ, which is found in his gospel. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.